vocals came up here about 3 minutes ago when I heard him, hit the keys. I used to be in the choir. That's where I started. I'm a real good choir member. They let me sing solo sometimes, but I know my place. I was about to go stand right next to Ron.
Hold on. Help is on the way.
In your home this afternoon.
Amen.
It is afternoon. What time is it? This morning. Yeah, right. Amen. I appreciate the invite. I appreciate your pastor so much. The last time I was here, I told you I learned a whole lot from talking with him just a little bit.
Amen.
And I try to listen to and pay attention to people that I recognize that one, God is working in first and foremost.
Amen.
And two, they are listening to the Lord.
Amen.
So I appreciate you, Pastor, so much, and appreciate being allowed to stand here before you. Mm-hmm. And I won't be long winded. Hey, 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 hey. I don't think.
Amen.
So there's your warning. So, Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We thank you for your time. God, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for all that has gone before you. We know that your servants are looking expectantly to hear from you today. So in that, we thank you for bringing your word and leaving your word for us. Now at this time, God, we pray that you speak to our hearts.
Big Lord.
None of me and all of you, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So there was a man who decided to go on a trip. He needed to go somewhere. He needed a change of environment. He needed to go somewhere new. Things weren't going well for him in the area he was living in. His girlfriend left him. His dog left him. He got kicked out of his home. All he had left was his clothes and his car. So he got into his car. Now his car wasn't the best car that he could have. He was obviously not doing well. So he got into his car and he started on his trip. He put as much gas as he could put in the car. And he started driving and driving. And he saw things along the way, signs that said, keep going, you're almost there. He had no idea where there was. But the sign said, keep going, you're almost there. And at some point, he ran over a nail. Tire gone. Thank God he had one spare. He put that spare on and he kept going. He was about to run out of gas. He got to a gas station that had 5 gallons of gas. I have no idea why the gas station only had 5 gallons of gas. But this is the trip that this young man was on. He got his 5 gallons of gas and he decided after this long trip, after not eating and losing a tire and all that he had left behind, he thought that maybe if he kept going, things would get better. But as it happens with many of us, discouragement set in. And as he's watching his gas meter go down, and he comes upon a place that's okay. There's a place for him to stay. There's a tire shop where he can get a tire. And it looks like it might be okay. He decides, this is all that I have. This is good enough. Maybe I should just stop. And he stops there. And he settles in. And he has a decent existence. Only problem is, had he gone 5 miles further, he would have gotten to where he was supposed to be. The job he was supposed to have, the place he was supposed to stay, and he would have found his wife had he gone a little further. The title of today's message is A Little Further.
Amen.
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 Amen. The scripture reading was wonderful. Thank you so much, brother. And in the text we see Jesus at the precipice of his purpose. We see him in the garden praying fervently, because now his sacrifice is imminent. It is no longer something that we're talking about in the future. It is happening now. His sacrifice is now. The disciples had watched him walk and talk and pray and minister for years. They had been with him the entire time. But now everything for everyone was about to change.
Amen. Amen.
Everything for everyone was about to change.
Amen.
The gospel was about to move past the Jews and come to the world.
Amen.
And everything had to be different.
Amen.
They had to go a little further. The only way to get to where we are now, was for Jesus to take his disciples a little further. In Matthew 26, we see them enter the Garden of Gethsemane.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And in Luke 22, same story, we see them enter the Garden of Gethsemane. But if you go up just a little bit in Luke, we see our brother talked about the communion being instituted. The Passover being changed. Christ changed the Passover from the Passover to what we know as communion now. Just above that in Luke. But if you look in Luke 22:24, right after the institution of the Passover, before they go into the Garden of Gethsemane, we see the disciples do something that we do all the time. Get distracted. We get distracted. Jesus tells them, he institutes the communion. He tells them that the one who is going to betray them is sitting at the table with them. And it must be. And he tells Judas to go and do his work quickly. And immediately after that, we see in the text, verse 24, a dispute arises over who is the greatest among them. We get distracted. Jesus just changed the entire game. And they start talking about who is the greatest among them. Let's not get distracted as we move.
Amen.
Then we see them go into the Garden of Gethsemane in 26 here. And it says, Matthew 26:36 says, then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray.
Amen.
The first thing I want to point out here, and we're only going to talk just a little bit about these few scriptures. The first thing I want to point out here is that he took all the disciples with him. Even after the dispute, even after having that entire conversation about who should be greatest and how we will know who's the greatest, that if you want to be great, you must come to Christ, you must come to God as a little child. If you want to be a leader, you must first be a servant. Even after he taught them that, he did not leave them.
Amen.
Sometimes we want to leave people because we think they're not ready for where we're going, but Jesus took everybody with him.
Amen.
To the garden.
Amen.
But he did not take everybody all the way where he went. So the first thing I want to point out is don't leave anybody behind. Now, everybody might not be able to go everywhere you're going. God might call you to go somewhere where you can't take everybody, but that does not mean that they're not connected to you. That does not mean that you're not responsible for them. It just means that they're not going maybe where you're going. So he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, with him a little bit further. So he said he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. 38, then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.
Amen.
He tells them of his agony in 38. He shares with them that his soul is grieved so much because he knows what's coming. He knows what he has to endure. He knows what they will endure because of his sacrifice. He was open and honest about his feelings. This is a critical lesson for us to learn.
Amen.
And we don't want to miss that. Sometimes as Christians, we want to show this fully armored, fully put together, fully formed being. And we don't want to let people know when we're hurting. But the master told these three, listen, I am in agony to the point of death. I am hurting. Now, it doesn't give us the full context of what Jesus was bearing there, but we know that it was his sacrifice. We know that it was the crucifixion, but we also can understand that he had a responsibility and love for the people that had been following him, and he knew that in just a few hours,
amen,
that all those who had pledged to him their undying dedication,
amen,
would leave him. His main one, Peter, the temperamental one, even after he attacks a guard, will not claim him in just a few hours. He tells his partner that before the cock crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. He knows that all those that had been following him all this time will be in despair and distress. And he's in agony. And he shares that with them. We spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to fool people into thinking that there's nothing wrong with us. And it's pointless. Because, have you ever felt something that you feel like everybody else knows?
Amen.
And you're trying to hide it so bad. Everybody knows you're messed up. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. But I want to say this grammatically correct. You ain't fooling nobody. You know why? Because everybody's messed up. Nobody lives in your head but you. So you can try to put on a nice Christian church face for everybody. Nothing bothers me. That's fine. Sure. No problem. Turn my lights off. It's great. Jesus will provide. That's okay. I don't need water. It's okay. No problem. You're leaving me? That's fine. I will find someone new to love. And all the time, all past this face, you just broke. You're not fooling anyone. Stop wasting your time trying to fool people into thinking you're okay. Now listen. I'm not telling you to tell everybody your business. Let's back up just a little bit. I'm not saying put everything on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the ones who you can trust. The people that you can say, stay right here with me and just pray. I don't necessarily need your advice. You notice Jesus didn't ask them for advice. He told them what he was feeling. He didn't ask you what you think. What do you think I should do about this? He didn't ask them that. He said, listen, I'm hurting. I'm in agony. Stay right here and pray with me. Please. So know the people who you can ask those questions to. Everybody's not that person. Real talk. Now listen, I don't believe in, listen. I'm rounding close to 50. And I know some of you older folks say, oh, he's just a whippersnapper. Right? But I'm getting up there. So I know that you can't tell everybody everything. The things you don't want coming back, you don't tell everybody. If you want to let some stuff go, you let that go. Not on nobody else. But there has to be one or two people that you can say, just pray with me. Jesus entrusts the responsibility of praying for him with these few. Not everybody. Amen. He went a little further even from them. The Bible says he went a stone's throw away from them and fell on his face and began to pray. I like that it says he went a stone's throw away. I try not to miss anything in the scriptures because, listen, have you ever been close to someone when they're praying? Or have you ever been close to someone when they're talking with someone else and you can overhear what's going on? Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you... if your ears perked up. I'm going to assume that if you overheard something difficult that you began to pray. Because I'm going to think the best of us. Notice I said us. I'm not talking about you. It's difficult to overhear something and not be affected by it. It's difficult to overhear something from someone you respect and not feel shaken. He was a stone's throw away from them praying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. His human emotion, his human agony was being laid out to the Father, a stone's throw away from the men that had been following him and doing everything that he had told them to do. Imagine you hear the master pray, Father. You've never seen any weakness in him. One day you were walking with him and a blind man asked him for sight and he opened his eyes.
Amen.
One day you were walking with him and he came upon a fig tree that didn't have figs and he cursed the tree. And the next day the tree was dead.
Amen.
One day you were walking with him and a deaf man came in and you saw him give him his hearing. You saw him cast demons out of a man that had been broken for years. So now you hear this same man,
Amen.
A stone's throw away from you, pray, Father, if it be your will, let this pass from me. My father was an extremely influential person in my life. He was probably the strongest man I ever met. Not necessarily in strength, just he was my example of strength. He didn't talk very much, but he just looked like a rock to me. Weeks before he passed, I came home. And he hadn't worked for years because he had a heart attack and could not work. But he worked around the house because he wasn't just going to sit still. That wasn't his way. Weeks before he passed, I came home from high school. He was in his room crying. Never saw him cry before. I go in the room. He tells me that he's a little scared. I'm 17 years old. Never saw my father cry in this way. He's getting ready to have, he's just concerned. Shook me. The disciples are a stone's throw away, hearing the master pray, honestly laying out his heart to the Father. Here's another example that we learned in this time. If you can't talk to anybody else, you need to be honest with the master.
Amen.
You lay out your heart to him,
mm-hmm.
You tell him what you feel. Amen. You tell him what you fear. Amen. You tell him what's going on with you. And you have a heart to heart with the master.
Amen. Amen.
And that is possible because he put his spirit in you.
Amen.
You may not know exactly what. Have you ever been scared and not know why?
Amen. Amen.
Have you ever been concerned and not have any idea what you're concerned about? Have you ever just been just sitting in a place where you didn't know what was going on, but you knew something was going on?
Amen. Amen.
The Bible tells us that when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit will give us utterance. And in from that, the Master will answer you. How amazing is that you can get answers that you didn't ask for? Because if you have a heart to heart with God, he will let you know.
Amen.
What's going on. Jesus gave us the example.
Amen.
He honestly laid out his heart to the Father.
Amen.
It's necessary for us to do that.
Amen.
If you want
Amen.
To live mm-hmm. a joyful life. If Amen. You want to go a little bit further. If you don't want to get stuck in where you think you're supposed to be, but you want to be where God would have you.
Amen.
Now, if you don't want that, then don't tell it. God is amazing
Amen.
At giving us choice. He's not going to make you tell him nothing. He already knows.
Amen.
But you don't have to do it. And we want to do this particularly when we're facing new and difficult times.
Amen.
When you're facing new and difficult times, when you get to a place where you all of what you know mm-hmm. is done, all of your understanding, all of your ingenuity, all of your education, you're at the end of that. You got to give that to God now. You should give it to him before, but definitely this is where you give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is where we start trying to make other stuff up. And I said, we, no, I'm not pointing at nobody. Matthew 26:41 says, Jesus tells them that the spirit is willing,
Amen.
But the flesh is weak. He says, pray
Amen.
So that you do not enter into temptation. Pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The New American Standard Version says it that way, and I think it's interesting because it says to them, keep praying so that you do not enter into temptation. Because you can get to a place where you step into places where you shouldn't be.
Amen.
You can handle it. You can obviously handle it because God said that he wouldn't give you, put on you more than you can bear. Right? He said you would not be tempted past what you can stand. But Jesus tells his disciples now, the ones that he came a little bit further with, to pray so that you do not enter into temptation.
Amen.
The Bible also tells us that with every temptation, he will provide a what? Way of escape.
Amen. Amen.
So listen, Ron talked about this earlier. Even if you get into something, he's so gracious, he'll show you a way out. But you gotta take it. He didn't say he was going to make you do anything. He said, pray so that you don't enter into temptation. But even if you do step in, he's going to provide you an escape. And I think it's wonderful that the Bible says escape too. It doesn't say exit, right? Exit is an invitation to walk out. Escape is you running. You leaving your coat like Joseph. You'll explain how you're outside naked later, but you're running. Because staying in there clothed is worse than being out there naked. Y'all don't run outside naked now. I ain't said that. In his agony, Christ knew that this would be difficult for these men. And he gave them the answer, pray,
Amen.
So that when temptation comes, you will not enter. If you continue to read the text, when he comes back, they're what? Asleep. And then he goes away again and prays again, and he comes back and they're asleep. And he goes away a third time, and he comes back and he says, well, y'all just need to keep on sleeping. But listen, why is that significant? He told them before he went away and prayed to pray so that you would not enter into temptation. He knew what was coming would tempt them to walk away. It would tempt them to reject him. It would tempt them to hide when they should be out front. But they slept. And hours later, Peter would deny him three times, one time cursing, saying, I do not know him. A couple of days later, the only one that's at the foot of the cross is John. And we tend to talk about the 12 disciples. We know Judas is gone, so it's 11 disciples. Then only where the other 10 were, we don't know. But what about the hundreds that followed him?
Mm-hmm. Man.
They weren't at the foot of the cross either. What about the 10,000 plus, because he fed 5,000 twice? What about those? They weren't recorded to be there either.
Amen.
Of the thousands of people that Jesus ministered to, one, other than his mama and Mary, were there. Pray so that we do not enter into temptation. Why? Because the spirit is willing.
Amen.
But the flesh is weak.
Amen. Amen.
As we're closing, we're getting ready to close. I told you I wouldn't be before you long. But willingness doesn't equal ability or action. Just because you're willing to do something doesn't mean that you can do it.
Amen.
Just because you're willing to do something doesn't mean you will do it.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, I am willing right now, if I got the call, to suit up for the Lakers.
There it is.
I guarantee you I could average 3 points. Points and 6 fouls. I can do it. Excuse me. But just because you're willing doesn't mean that you have the ability. Just because you're willing to do something doesn't mean that you can. The spirit is willing.
Amen.
The flesh is weak.
Amen.
We can do nothing outside of Christ.
Amen.
The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak.
Amen.
We will not do anything if we don't submit our wills to his will.
Amen.
He said, pray so that you do not enter into temptation.
Amen.
Keep your mind focused on the Lord.
Amen.
For you math people, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is only 33% of the equation. Man is a triune being. Created like God.
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen.
Soul.
Amen.
Body.
Amen.
The spirit is willing.
Amen.
The body is weak. And our soul tells us what we should and should not do.
Amen. Amen.
So if we want to do anything, we got to get our experience, our soul, our memories out of the way.
Amen.
If you plan to do anything for Christ, you have to listen to him, pray, and stay focused on him.
Amen.
Because your soul will tell you it won't work.
Amen.
Your soul will tell you that the last 10 job interviews you had didn't go well. So the one that you're supposed to go to, you don't go to because you're discouraged. Because your experience tells you it's not going to work out. Your soul will tell you that the last 5 men that you talked to were no good. And when your husband finds you, you don't give him a shot. Because the 5 other jokers messed you up. And now your husband is paying for the other ones. Your soul will tell you, don't come to church. It's pointless. All the preachers want to do is get your money get your women, and just do whatever they want to do. Because maybe you have been in those type of places. But you got to get those experiences out of the way. Because the enemy is constantly trying to put things before you. To place in your memory. So that your soul, your experiences tell you that it's not going to work.
Amen.
But Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us today, pray so that you do not enter into temptation.
Amen.
What if we go a little further? What if we just go a little further? What if we pray just a little bit harder?
Amen.
And we bear our souls to God like Christ did. What if we stop trying to act like everything is okay? And we tell people that we can trust, you know what, I'm hurt. And I need you to pray with me. Not for me, because I'm praying too. But I need you to pray with me. What if we trust God? For real, for real.
Amen.
Because we'll find ourselves in situations where it's easier to trust our experience than our Savior.
Yes, amen.
Because I know how to do this. Uh-huh. I know how to trust me. It doesn't work out 9.5 times out of 10, but I know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
What if you gave Jesus that other half? And watch him work. What if we go a little further?
Amen. Amen.
What would our walk look like? What would our witness look like?
Amen.
What would our families look like? What would our marriage? They talked about marriage 3 times today. Because marriage is God's example to the world of an amazing love.
Amen.
What would our marriages look like if we go a little bit further? What would our neighborhoods look like? What would our church look like? What would we look like if we walk with Christ just
Amen.
A little bit further? Father, we thank you.
We thank you, Lord.
And we praise you this day.
Hallelujah.
For your love, God, for your care, for your concern. God, we love you for taking us with you.
Amen.
For showing us your example, for showing us your sacrifice, and being our Savior. Help us, God, listen to you.
Help us.
Help us follow your instruction.
Help us.
Help us pray.
Help us.
And carefully we'll give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen.